Blog Talk Radio.
Family, greetings and hotep. Welcome, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 here live coming to you on Friday. I am your advocate. I am your Maliwa. I'm your mother too. And I am your empress. Thank you so very much for joining me. I like to say Hafari Gani to those old friends, and I like to say what's up to those new friends. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and do join us for another segment on Reordering the Marriage Vows. This is the remix of Reordering the Marriage Vows of the African-American for the 21st century. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that we're going to stay on this topic because this is an area of our lives that we can all benefit from. I know you've been hearing me discuss the miracles in our lives, and we are on to a new topic also on opposite days that we'll be talking about in Coming and Get Your Miracle. We've been talking about that topic, and you definitely want to join us next Wednesday for that topic. But today, however, we're talking about reordering the marriage style for the 21st century, the remix. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the segment where we normally have my counterpart with me today. I'll be featuring the show along today and talking about relationships. And for those of you who have not been able to come out and listen to us, do join us today. Why don't you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. I'm going to take a little trip, a little bathroom break, because the band got to go out and clean up some things. We got some house cleaning to do. So let's take a trip out of here to North Carolina, if you don't mind. Just take a trip with me, please.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Come on, come on, come on. Let's take a trip out of here to North Carolina. It should be sunny and warm there right about now. How is everyone doing this evening? And this is our Kick It Up Day. We're going to use Friday as our Kick It Up Day. And I'm sure some of you probably missed me because I was on the Harambe show doing I Can Be a Better Man. Now, I'm going to carry that I Can Be a Better Man over to our relationship for a while. We're going to hang out with that particular topic. And I want to say to Hustler Joes out there, I hope you guys are having a marvelous time with your once-a-month show that you're doing. Sorry, can't be with you. I have to be on the air this evening. But we're wishing everyone well over there on Grant Street in Gary, Indiana. Hustler Joes, shouts go out to you. Thank you so very much for inviting me to that set. And I know you guys are going to be having a grand time. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to also say hello to Harambe Show. We give two shouts out to Harambe. 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 Go ahead on, Delani Ahmad. We say shouts out to you this evening. Now, this is our Kick It Up Day, but we're going to get down to some real nitty-gritty today. We're talking about how men could be a better man today. And that song goes a little something like this. Do I still remember the song? I haven't sang it in so long. I have to think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a little bit of time so I can get warmed up on that song, and I'll bring it back to you indirectly. Once again, we're doing how the men could be a better man, and I could be a better man is what they would say, and I'm quoting the men. Now, how and what way should our men start working on their personality, their character, their self-esteem, or what areas should they work on first? First of all, if a man is planning on courting any woman, he has to be sure of himself, and he has to have something going on in the neighborhood of confidence. Confidence is everything. If you have no confidence level, you have no business dating a woman or asking a woman for her hand in marriage, because confidence goes a long way with a real woman. But she's going to look at how sure you are of yourself and how well you stand on your own two feet. If you can't stand on your own two feet with confidence, there's no way you're going to carry her along when she might not be able to stand. Now, I want to say to the men, I'm not indicting any men out there about being a better man, because I know there's some damn good men out there, because I've had some in my life. And I know that there's some damn good men out there that would make good husbands to a woman, telling her, I think I want to be married. Don't make me have to do Delilah on you in this place today, because I can go Delilah and John and even Hercules as well, and Samson. What I want to say to those listeners out there, I don't want to get into my comical stage because I can go Eddie Murphy on you. This is a Friday, and they're having a comedy hour over there at Hustler Joe's, and I did want to be there. Unfortunately, I'm here. So as we try to stay cool and don't go comical, I want to say this. Those men who are not strong in the gut, in their solar plexus, and they get weak in the knees when they're up against a little something-something, I want you to stand tall. I want to talk to you for a minute, because I'm going to help you to be the man, all the man that you could be, because all a woman wants you to do is to stand on your word. If your word said so, I want you to stand on it until the cows come home. And when you've done all that you could do to stand, I say still remain standing. And when the wind comes and blows up against you, which it will do, remain standing. You could be a better man today. By listening to the Karen Reed Show, Omi's going to show you how to be a better man. But before we do that, let's go over to the throne of grace and let's lift up praises to the Almighty. Let me say this for the record. We're not looking for anybody out there in the universe. I want to make it plain to you. I have been an overcomer. I am no longer looking for anything outside of myself to come and save me. And what is this thing called saved? What am I being saved from? And which alien in the sky is looking to come and save me? Do you not know that the essence that God bestowed upon his only begotten Son, he gave you too. He gave you the same thing he gave Jesus. And if Jesus said, in the end, why hast thou forsaken me? He was looking for someone to help him, when in fact he helped himself. And didn't he say greater things that we will do than he did? There's no alien. There's no God coming out of the sky. And no Jesus coming down, parting the sky to get you or I. And don't bother setting the table for Elijah to get here. And don't bother waiting at the door for Jesus to come back. Because Jesus placed himself in you. He was a concept. And he placed himself and his concept in you. That's why when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because his Father's essence and word was placed on the inside of him. That same essence was placed on the inside of you. The God that you're looking for, check this out, people, is a little Godhead inside of you. That ratified energy that shakes with fire. It's fire set up in your bone that he placed in you so that when you wanted to get in contact with God, your higher self, you tuned that essence within you. There's no God coming out of the sky saying, you rang, and being a bellhop for you. When you pray, you are praying to yourself. So today, for the first time, I want you to know that you are praying to yourself, telling yourself that which needs to be done, that you are going to do it with the help of the essence that's inside of you. No one else from the outside is coming to help you do anything. And I will tell any preacher, any deacon, any apostle, any evangelist the same thing, because I've been through the same schooling they've been through, and we've been teaching people a lie. We've been lying to them. This God that we're looking for is on the inside of us. There's nothing on the outside that's going to come and escape you from what is already destined for you. You must realize that. Ye are God's little children, and ye have overcome them. You're the small God with the little g and the big head full of wisdom. You must remember, Jesus was a concept, and the concept he represented was for you to grow in grace just like he did. Jesus had to be trained, and he had to learn the knowledge and the metaphysics. He had to be trained on how to use laws of attraction. And he had to go in Africa to the schools where they had spiritual teaching to learn these gifts. Now, you too must be learning these gifts through a teacher that teaches you right knowledge and teaches you the understanding of universal laws. These are the practices that Jesus used. You must remember, God created the universe, and he went back up in the universe to operate in the heavens. And the heavens are not necessarily up, but he gave you dominion over this earth. He would be less than a god if he came back down here to do anything, because he told us to take dominion and subdue the earth. And everything up under our feet, we have control of it. He did not say, hold tight until I get here. I'm going to fix it for you. I'm going to do this. He never told you he was coming here to fix anything for you. So whatever's broken in your life, then you better get at it, buddy, because you got some fixing to do. Because God or Jesus ain't coming here to fix nothing for you. Do you understand that? God had created and manifested himself in many different forms because he's so vast. And he is ratified energy. He's combustion. You can't look upon God if you wanted to. He would burn you up because he's fire. Somebody say fire, yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody say fire with me. Anytime you see ratified energy, if you look at an electric cord and if it catches on fire, it ain't nothing but ratified energy running up and down the floor. That's how the frequency level is. And you have it within you. And don't think that there's some God that's going to come down here and practice operating in your universe that he's giving you dominion over. So now that we know we have dominion and that God resides within us, our Ori, commune with God at any time and tell that God within us what to do, because we govern this body, and you're the master of this ship. So don't go telling anybody, we better wait till Martin comes. Martin's going to come in the morning. Has anybody seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? Will he free love people? But the good, they die young. I just looked around, and now he's gone, gone, gone. I looked around, and he's gone. That's right. Your old friend Martin is gone. And you must understand that we are dealing with people who don't know death from the living. You change from one universal level to the next. You go from eldership to ancestorship, and you make that transition and the flush, and we'll have communion together. But the spirit goes back to which it came. Spirit cannot die. So your dear brother John or Martin have not gone anywhere but in the ratified energy levels. And at any time, you can summon that energy and you can tap into that power. I want to teach you how to tap into that power so you can get some of that ratified energy to burn up some of these situations here on earth. So men, you can be a better man, but you got to learn how to operate the ratified energy. Let's go to the throne of grace. Now, for the benefit of those who don't realize that you're God, I'm going to say good morning, God, to you right now. Good morning, God. You are God. And don't let anyone tell you anything different. And don't let anyone tell you that I'm lying and some blasphemy, because they are liars and the truth is not in them. We've been knowing we were gods all the time. Why is it that the Caucasian man knew all along who the real God was, and they even knew who the real Jesus was? We had a discussion just last Sunday about, is Jesus black or is he white? Why is it that so many Europeans know the Virgin Mary and the Madonna picture depicts a black man and woman? Yet we're here in a civilized society called America, and yet we don't even know that Michelangelo posed and used pictures of people that were not Caucasian but black in his Jesus and Mary picture. And most of the Europeans know that he definitely was a black man. If they describe him with woolly hair and brass feet, and coming from that climate, should we be historically correct or politically correct? If we were historically correct, we know that in that era of time, in that geographical location, he might have went into that land being Caucasian, but he came out being black, 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 like Nina Simone would have said, because of the climate itself. In order for him to sustain himself, he had to come out a black man. And most of the Europeans know this. And we're playing this game at this 1300 hour, teaching the people incorrectly, saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, as long as he comes to save the people. Now, let me give you a prime example. A prime example is if you're going to save someone, you must give them a bit of the poison in order to be an antidote to cure the cause of the problem. And if we keep trying to cure the problem with a dose of medicine that is not a part of the actual poison, then we can't cure. In every medicine, you take a dose of the poison, just like when you give someone with a virus or a bacteria infection, you take a bit of the bacteria to couple with that so-called medicine to see if their body's strong enough to fight it off. Now, today, we're going to give you a bit of the poison and see if your body is strong enough to fight off what it is that ails you. Come on to the throne of grace so we can lift our hands. Father God, we are talking to ourselves today. We are ministering to ourselves. We're no longer looking for anything out there in the universe. There's nothing greater out there in the universe than ourselves. Let us confess that today. Let us look down in our bosom, in the bosom where Abraham so-called held his head, and let us speak to that ratified energy within us. Stir up the gifts in each and every one of us. Stir it up today, I say. When you stir it up, Lord, let us know that that frequency is ratified energy. Shut up in our bones. It was placed there. When God gave the commandment of the right-hand man to sculpture us, he asked them to sculpture us into human beings. Now, we are spiritually people having an experience in this earthly setting. But the Creator gave us his essence. He gave us his
essence. Tap that talent. Welcome to North Carolina. Tap that talent. Tap that talent. Got that rhythm. Tap that talent. Got...
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on.
Welcome back, family. I want to slow down a little bit here because I want you to get this. I want you to get this, that we're not praying out to any vapor in the sky anymore. We are not calling out to anything in the universe except for those things that are attached to us, such as the water, the river, the streams, the coyote, the owl, the fox. We're asking them to take up residence with us and assist us. They want to aid and assist us. They're waiting for us to ask. We are all connected. There is nothing that was created that is not connected. And once you become disconnected, that's when you have the illnesses, that's when you experience the psychological disorder. When someone wants to get to you, they quickly separate you from the universe. If you are disconnected today, I want you to get, they will set the record straight. By you being God, you are connected to God. You are not the God, just as the vast ocean is not just one drop of water. But that one drop of water is likened to that ocean because it's made from the same element. You are made from the same element that the God who created this universe is made from. You are not the God who created the universe, but you're of the essence of that God. The essence of that God is love, peace, tranquility. You are all the essence of God. And you are the full God and his likeness. You do not have the mind of God, but you have the potential of developing the mind of God. Now, I want you to know this, because all the stuff that I've been teaching in the past, I have been ill-prepared, and I've come to my senses, and I've wakened up, and we're slowly waking up. We're doing a vast job right now of going into many different churches and working in prison ministries to talk to people about truth. We don't have time to perpetuate heresy anymore. Heresy over things that we know don't make sense. I don't care how much holiness you have in you, you've got to teach with the urgency and teach the truth. Because when my people hear the truth, black or white, they know the truth and they wake up. So somebody's going to wake up today. I'm ringing the bell to wake up, wake up, wake up, because we've got to start elevating ourselves as gods today. Wake up, God. Good evening, God. Now, I want you to understand that we have to pray to yourself and elevate yourself. Now, let's begin with our topic today. And I want to slow it down a little bit. I'm getting a little bit excited because on that Come Get Your Miracle, boy, that stuff is hot in the room when we talk about universal laws. And I want to preach on it, but I got to stay on topic today. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, I like to say I am so glad that we cannot make it by ourselves, and that it is our reasonable service to find a mate in this world, to find somebody we can share our lives with. I want to talk to you men about your foolishness, where you don't want to make a commitment, where you think it's too hard of a decision for you to give up all of your girlfriends and put your black book down. It's hard for you to make that commitment. Ooh, it's hard to come up out of the street. Well, I'm going to tell you, a lot of men are losing because they don't want to give up their ways. Men are perishing because they rather stay in their foolishness than come out of their ways and take on the benefit of having a jewel that God has gifted them with. Some men are going to lose today because they're walking away from their pearls. They're pearls that God has given them. I want to speak to you men. If you've been given a pearl, someone that has been able to function like a God in your home, to get your finances together, take care of your children. First of all, bear your children and raise them up to be men and women, and then manage the house so that all you have to do is go to work and come home and sleep in your palace. You've been given a gift. You are casting your pearls to the swine. Whenever you want to make a decision that you no longer want to be the man that God called you to be, I'm going to tell you right to your face, you can be a better man. Because there's a lot of men out here looking for some woman to give their money to. Some men that are sitting at the ATM machine waiting for a good woman to walk by and say, hey, I got my Social Security check. Could you come over here and help me? get my money out the ATM machine. Hey, I got my retirement check. Can you go to the bank with me to help me cash it? There are men like that all over the place because they're becoming wayward and lost in their ignorance and need a good woman to guide them. But they don't have the sense of a bullfrog to realize it's a good woman who's going to bring the Godhead concept, can rule in duality. No man is going to rule by himself. There's foolishness about this is a man's world. So what is he going to do with it without a woman or a girl? James Brown told you that. Ain't nothing you can do without a woman or a girl. Because a woman is going to solidify the earth. Because duality is what was planned for us, not men in his wholeness. And this stupid concept that Jesus dwelled here on this earth without having the desire of a woman. Then why were there so many women around him like Mary Magdalene? Did he not have an urge for a woman? Did he not have a desire? And who took the desire away? When did that magical trick come in to play? I never saw when somebody touched Jesus' head with a wand and said, you won't have a desire for a woman. If he's natural and if he functioned after the smooth things like Moses did, like King David did, then he would have the same traditions and rituals that his forefathers had. Why wouldn't he? Is this something, once again, that somebody put in the Bible to mislead us, and all this time we believe that Jesus had no need of a woman or no desire for a woman? Such a blasphemy. Why do we have so many misrepresentations in the Bible that has led us astray? I can't preach them anymore. I refuse to. It doesn't make sense, and it's not logical. If he was a man of empathy, if he was a man of compassion, it takes compassion to love someone. How could he heal if he had no compassion? And how could he have all this compassion and have no love for a woman? It doesn't make sense. You go figure. At this moment, man, I want you to understand that you can do nothing outside of a woman. So don't get it twisted. You might be fighting against the wind. You might be working it extra hard. Realize it will not come to pass without a woman because you must understand you cannot have a God without a goddess. And we've got to get to grips with this. If you want to call her and chat in the room, chat and put something up on the page. I need to hear from somebody about now because we are talking about making better men. Men are walking around foolishly, unaimfully, because there's no women, good women. And I'm not talking about a corrupted woman who needs help herself. I'm talking about good women who know right from wrong, who have ethical, moral judgment, and who can lead a man somewhere. But they cannot make him drink. He must wake up today. And these men that go and ask women for their hand, and ask, will you marry me? And don't have the sense of a bullfrog to take her off the market by putting a ring on her finger. And I'm going to tell you like Beyonce said, if you like it, put a ring on it. If you liked it, you should have put a ring on it. Because if you don't put a ring on mine, you're going to lose me. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because, see, you lay claim on somebody, you must put your stake in them. If not, that person is available. And you got stupid men that don't even know enough to go and buy a bubble gum ring to take that woman off the market. Now, I'm teaching today. Somebody's going to get this. Somebody's going to be a better man when I finish talking. And it might even be my fiancé. You might be a better man. It might even be my brother. But somebody's going to be a better man today. Because this foolishness has to stop. And women, you got to stop putting up with it. We're putting up with too much from our men, and they give us any old flimsy excuse, and we go along with it. You've got to stop accepting and swallowing down everything they say. No, you're not right, and the truth ain't in you. And you tell them, I don't care if they say you're bringing them an argument, bring the argument to them and make them stand up and represent. It used to be a time when a man's handshake was his bond. Now men lie so fast through the teeth, and they'll shake your head while lying at the same time. Well, us women have got to understand that it does take a God to make a Godhead and a God. But you've got to help make men women. And I'm telling you, call them on everything, on the carpet, because the commandment was given by God when he said, let us make men in our own image. And women, we have got to help to make these men in the image of God and his likeness. And we're the spiritual side of God, so we've got to start putting spirituality into our men if we're going to make men into God's image. And we're the gods today. There are no gods coming from the outside exterior. You are the gods today. Get that through your head. You must understand that Jesus is no different from you. God created you in the same likeness that he created Jesus. He expected you to become like the Jesus, so he created the Godhead example through Jesus. And Jesus is creating miracles, and you can create miracles because he said greater things would you do. And we ought to start doing those things. And I want the men that are around here creating havoc on the earth and that are creating all kinds of confusion and fears to repent of some of these behaviors, coming to their senses and realizing if you don't know what to do, you can go to somebody who can train you. And women, yes, you're going to have to train some of these men. They're going to have to be taken back to school because they have not been trained through the mother whip. And they don't even really know what it is to be a real man. But you know what? Then they've never been penetrated. And this is off the record. I hope the children are not in the room. Then those men are still virgins. They have to be penetrated. And if you don't set and tell them, women, about their spirituality and their responsibility and commitment that they have to make, then don't let them get off the hook. And don't go and tell anybody you're marrying anybody until they can make a firm commitment to you. Because we're letting them get away with far too much. And we're the gods today. We know better. So let us make man in our own image, women. We have got to sit down and explain to a man that he could be a better man, but he has to have some godly rules, and he has some have to have some virtues that he lives by. He has to have a standard lifted up. And if there's no standard lifted up, cannot draw the people to him. And women, you can't draw these men unless you lift a standard up. Once you lift up a standard, you're the God that they were talking about, that where the men will be drawn to you. If you want men to be drawn to you, you don't have to do no hocus pocus. You don't have to do no magic. You have to lift up a standard. And a man will honor a standard, and he'll be drawn to it. Now, I want to calm down a little bit. Say to the men, this doesn't mean that we don't love you. This doesn't mean that we don't care for you. It means that we are going to stand behind what's right, and we're going to get behind you to make you a better man. Excuse me. When I say let us make men, one of what I'm saying is that we've got to be on one accord. We've got to be saying the same thing. We cannot be saying one thing. Oh, you can sleep with me, and there's no commitment. Oh, be my man, but you don't have to be a part of my financial life. Women, we've got to be echoing the same thing. Women, you've got to stop second-guessing yourself and reducing yourself to the level of their whore. You are not their whores. You are not their bitches. And do not live a life like that. If you subject yourself to that level, that's how they will treat you. You must lift up a stand. Then we'll make men into better men. And we can do it today, ladies, and we can do it overnight. We can make that change and change our men. They said that women changed King Solomon. All those spiritual worshipers and the many gods they worship made Solomon corrupt. And that's what's happening today on this earth. Women, we are allowing these men to become corrupted because of our ways. When we become holy and sanctimonious, then we sanctify the man, because the Bible says when one is saved and sanctified, then you sanctify the spouse. So let's sanctify that man, and don't just go by the Bible, but go through it. And don't just go in the church, go outside in the byways and lift up a standard, because right now it's time out for church. And all you hat-wearing women in the church, come outside the church. I got something for you. Try to come into the prisons that we're going into today. to talk to women who have children and who are in prison, and they're trying to find a job, and because their address reads 2010 West Prison Street, no one's hiring any ex-cons today. So how would they get jobs, and how would they meet their obligation if they got $400 note when they first walked through the door? They had odds against them already. But these women have become corrupted. And you know what? They don't have to be in, they don't have to be outside of the church. Some of these are church-going women who got corrupted, who got sidetracked, who got sideswiped, and who were narrow-minded and double-tracked. And sometimes a man did it, but sometimes they did it to themselves because they lacked standards. And I'm saying that you show me a man that is wayward or a woman that's wayward, I will show you a man or woman that became sidetracked of those standards. We must lay down standards, and we must live by the standards, and we must judge ourselves by those standards. Then we can make better men. Let's make better men today, because it's time out for us to go to hell right here on earth. You don't have to die to go to hell. We're in the belly of the well now, and we're going to stay in the belly of the well until we start lifting up a standard. And when we lift up a standard for all men to see, then we can come before the mercy seat, and the mercy seat will find us clean and clear of all sins, and our deeds can be weighed as light as a feather. But this so-called lifestyle where men want to do what they want to do, they don't want any commitment, they want to run the streets, they want to live a lifestyle that's corrupted, it cannot ever happen. And if women, if you're allowing it to happen in your household, you are wrong. And you're causing a corruption to happen in your home. And the men that think everything is a utopia in a marriage, it's a give-and-take situation. The man has to give, and so does the woman. And if he's going to be a better man, he takes control of his household, and he sets standards, and he lives by himself. And I want to drive it home to you, men. I want you to become better men. I have five brothers, and I want all of them to become better men. I'm their baby sister, but you better believe I call them to a standard. I get in their face and call them to a standard, and I lift up a standard before them. And when they find my house swept and clean, they have no other choice but to live by that standard. And you can do it today, women, and don't think that you can't, because it's time out for us to live a life of shame. Everywhere you go, the black man is feared. And when he comes into a church and he's preaching the gospel, all races of people, he's even compromising himself there. We can no longer compromise ourselves with the truth. We've got to teach the unadulterated truth. We've got to teach the racism aspect is no longer acceptable. We've got to stop teaching racism, and we have got to start looking at a person's content of their character, because a lot of us, black or white, we've been practicing racist behaviors, and we've got to come away from it. Some of us African-Americans are more racist to ourselves than any outsided non-racial black person. So we've got to call this thing what it is. There are churches having sessions now about how do I stop being a racist? How do I change my behavior? How do I become a better person that's diversified and sensitive to other racial groups? Then churches, you've got to start doing the same thing. Sensitize your people about racism, because we're never going to make it without having into Europeanism or into blackism.